morning. I heard a true story just recently about a 71-year-old man. His name is Lawrence Ripley. I think we have a picture of Lawrence on the screen there. And Lawrence, in the summer of 2017, walked into a bank in Kansas City, Kansas, and he handed the teller a note. And she looked at the note. It read to her that he had a gun and he was demanding all of her money. And so the teller did what she was trained to do. She did not resist. She handed him all the money from her drawer, almost $3,000. But then what happened was very unusual. Instead of Lawrence Ripple running with the money out of the bank and into a car and getting away, he just sat down in the lobby of the bank and waited for the police to come. And when the police came, he surrendered himself to them. He gave them the money that he had just taken from the teller. And he told them that he wanted to go to jail just to get away from his wife. This is a true story. And as they began to investigate this story, this incident, they learned that he had actually written the note that he had given to the teller. He wrote that note in front of his wife, saying to her that he would rather be in jail than to be home with her. I guess they'd been having a bad week. Well, Lawrence Ripley pled guilty to bank robbery. He was sentenced to 50 hours of community service. He received a fine of $327. He had 3 years probation given to him. And here's the kicker, 6 months of house arrest. Don't you know that judge, as he handed down that sentence to him, had a big smile inside of him that he was trying to suppress? I'm wondering if any of you during this coronavirus lockdown time have felt like you've been under house arrest. If you have felt that, please, please don't go out and rob a bank. I have a better solution for you. And the solution is this, that you would learn to give praise to God amidst hardship. Just understand that when God is on your side, He can take that which is very hard and He can make something beautiful out of that. In the 1800s, the most well-known wildlife painter in Britain was Sir Edwin Landseer. His art was, and still is, loved around the world. In fact, I typed his name into my phone last night on the internet just to look at some of his pictures. And though he was way back in the early 1800s, his pictures are still around today. They're very beautiful and they're very expensive. They sell for thousands and thousands of dollars. The story is told of one day Sir Edwin Landseer was in a restaurant seated in a corner table. And no one in the restaurant knew who he was. He was there incognito enjoying his meal, and he watched as the waitress is carrying a pitcher of tea in her hand, and she bumps into a patron, and the pitcher of tea goes flying from her hand, and it goes all over this wall that is nicely painted white, and now all of a sudden the wall is marred. And the restaurant owner comes out, and he looks at the wall, and he sees this ugly brown splotch. The innkeeper says to himself and to those around him, well, it's no good. The stain will never come out. The whole wall will need to be repainted. Landseer who's sitting there in the corner watching all of this happen, gets up and he walks over to the restaurant owner and he says, "Perhaps not. Let me work with the stain, and if it meets your approval, you won't have to paint at all." And the restaurant owner didn't see any reason to refuse him. There was nothing to lose. He gave him permission to try. And so he left and the fellow to work with the wall. And Landseer got out of a box that he was carrying some pencils and a brush and some paint. And he went to work on the wall, sketching lines around the stain, filling it in here and there with dabs of color and shading. And soon a picture began to emerge. The random splashes of tea had turned into a beautiful picture of a deer with a majestic rack of antlers. And when he finished that picture, he signed his name at the bottom of that picture. He paid for his meal and left. And it wasn't long before the restaurant owner had come back out. He wanted to see the wall. And wow, what a picture. And he looked at the name that had been signed. E.H. Landseer. He didn't know who that man was, but now he knew. The wall was worth more now than it had been before. And so too, God is able to take our life, your life, and my life that has a lot of stains to them, and if we let him, he will begin to repaint and remake us into something very beautiful. He is a God worthy of our praise and our worship. Last week, Elijah and I began a series of sermons which we have entitled Desperate to Worship. We should be desperate to worship God because there is no one like him. That song that we listened to earlier during the worship time, no one like our God. And that is a message that I want to bring home to you today in this preaching, that over and over again, the scriptures give to us this truth that there is no God anywhere in this world like our God. And he's worthy of our worship. Let me give to you some of those verses. I hope that you in the middle can see the screen on either side and see these verses. Jeremiah chapter 10 verse 6 says, "There is none like you, O Lord. You are great, and great is your name in might." 1 Chronicles 17, 20, "O Lord, there is none like you, neither is there any God besides you." Exodus chapter 8 and verse 10, "Then he said, tomorrow, so he said, may it be according to your word, that you may know that there is no one like the Lord our God." Now, I think that particular verse needs some explanation. Because it says, "Then he said, so he said." Who's the he in this verse? Actually, the two he's represent two different people who are talking to one another. The first he is Pharaoh. "So he said, tomorrow." Or "then he said, tomorrow." "So he said," Moses answers Pharaoh, "may it be according to your word, that you may know that there is no one like the Lord our God." I heard a sermon a number of years ago by one of my good preacher friends, Dudley Rutherford, and he preached on that word tomorrow, the word between the two he's. Tomorrow. The setting is Moses is in Egypt trying to free the people of Israel from slavery. There are 10 plagues coming upon the land of Egypt. One of those plagues is the plague of frogs. You remember that? Now, I want you to put yourself in their shoes for a moment. Frogs are everywhere. You go to bed at night, you pull back the covers, there's frogs inside of the sheets. You lay your head on the pillow and you feel something moving underneath your head, and there's two or three frogs in the pillowcase. You get up out of bed in the morning and you step onto the floor and you step on a frog. You go into the bathroom, you want to take a shower, and you open the shower doors and there's 14 frogs in the shower with you. You go in and you want to drink a cup of coffee, wake yourself up, and you put the mug to your mouth and there's a frog in there. I mean, frogs are everywhere in the land. And Moses says to Pharaoh, "Tell me, Pharaoh, when do you want me to pray to God that he will remove the frogs?" And Pharaoh says, "Tomorrow." Tomorrow? Why would he say tomorrow? Why wouldn't he say right now, today, this very moment, pray to get rid of the frogs? But Pharaoh says, "Tomorrow." And Moses' response to him is, "So according to your word, that you may know that there is no one like the Lord our God." Deuteronomy 3:24, Moses again is speaking. He says, "O Lord God, you have begun to show your servant your greatness and your strong hand. For what God is there in heaven or on earth who can do such works and mighty acts as yours?" The answer is, there is no God like our God. Amen? I love these verses. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 23, he said, this is Solomon talking here. He said, "O Lord, the God of Israel, there is no God like you in heaven above or on earth beneath, keeping covenant and showing loving kindness to your servants who walk before you with all their heart." Would you say this with me? There is no God like our God. Let's say it again together, if you can see it on the screen. There is no God like our God. I hope you believe that. It's a truth that rings through and through Scripture. He hears us. There's no other God who hears us. He knows us. He understands us. He sees us. He can rescue us. He can save us. He is a one-of-a-kind God. He is a great God. Jeremiah 10:7, "Who would not fear you, O King of the nations? Indeed, it is your due." In other words, this is what we should do. This is the right thing for us to do. This is the right thing for us to do, that we would worship him, that we would give to him all of our praise and all of our adoration, all of our worship. That verse continues on, "For among all the wise men of the nations and in all their kingdoms, there is none like you." This is a theme that runs through the Scripture. I'll give you one more. Deuteronomy 32:31. "Indeed, our rock is not like," or "their rock is not like our rock. Even our enemies themselves judge this." I want you to note the little r versus the big R. Their God, their rock, little r, is not like our rock, big R. He is the one true rock. He is the one true God who is immovable, who is unshakable. He is steadfast. Let's say it again together. There is no God like our God. And so let's worship him. Let's lift his name up above every other name all through the day, every day. Did you know that you were created to give him worship? You want to know why you're here on this earth? Do you want to know why you have breath? Do you want to know why you have been planted here on this earth? It's to worship God. It's to give him glory. There's a verse out of Isaiah chapter 43, verse 7. It's one of my favorite verses in all of the Scripture, and it's one that I often go back to simply because it helps me know my purpose here on this earth. It gives me a point of which I can reference my whole life from. This is why I am here. It's to give him glory. Isaiah 43, verse 7. Everyone who is called by my name and whom I have created for my glory. Why have we been created? According to that verse, it's to give him glory. Hear me, my brothers and sisters. We are not created for our happiness. We are created for his glory. We are not created to do our thing. We are created for his glory. We are not created to make money. We are created for his glory. We are not created to have fun. We are created for his glory. But I will tell you, if you are giving glory to him, if you are worshiping him, if he is the focal point of your life, then you'll be having more fun than you've ever had in your whole life. Because you'll be fulfilling your purpose. You have been put here on this earth to glorify God, to worship him. I mentioned how Isaiah 43, verse 7 is one of my favorite verses of the Bible, and I reference it so often in my personal life and in my preaching. It's one of those verses that I just go back to time and time and time again. But and during this pandemic, I have encouraged you to be reading through the Psalms, which I did myself, and I found a verse in Psalms. It just jumped off of the page to me. It's a verse I've read I don't know how many times in my life, but it had never really jumped off of the page to me the way it did this time. Psalms 119, verse 175. It says, "Let my soul live that it may praise you." Read those words in your mind to yourself. Let my soul live that it may praise you. Let me ask you, are you fulfilling your purpose? Are you giving praise and worship to him? It only makes sense that the created would worship the Creator. May our worship of him not be reserved just for Sunday morning during the 9 o'clock or 10:30 hour, but may our worship for him be every day of the week, all through the day. I listened to Elijah's sermon from last week on my way over to the church this morning, and it was a wonderful sermon, but I noticed that one of the things that he said is that our whole life is to be in worship to God. That it is not to be confined to this church hour on Sunday morning, but our whole life is to be in worship and glory to God. I had a fellow send me this text just this week. I thought the timing of it as I was working on this sermon, and I texted him back, and I said, I'm going to use that Sunday. This is what the text said, and I think I have it for you on the screen if you can see it. There are only two reasons why a person is not a Christian. One, they don't know a Christian, or two, they do. Oh, wow. What a challenge for us. If we were fulfilling our purpose of giving him glory every day, all through the day, then maybe we would have a greater influence on the world than what we're having. There's a lot of darkness in this world, isn't there? And we've referenced that this morning already. Everett and Shannon have mentioned that. There is a lot of darkness in this world. And what the world needs is to have lights. Lights here and there and everywhere that are shining brightly for Jesus. And as we let our light shine, it will dispel the darkness. And that's what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they will see your good works and what? Glorify your Father who is in heaven. As we give Him glory in our daily life, it will help others to begin to give Him glory. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whether whatever you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. If you're working your job, work it in such a way that God gets glorified. If you're driving, do it in such a way that God is glorified. If you're doing the dishes or doing the laundry, do it in such a way that God is glorified. And you say, how in the world can I glorify God through doing the dishes? Well, do it with a joyful heart. Do it with a song on your lips. Do it in service to those that you love. Do it just out of glory to Him as you would anything that you do in your life. You do it in such a way that the glory goes to God the Father. I remember when I lost my job in Fort Scott, I had a choice. To be better or to be bitter. And obviously I wanted to be better. I wanted to honor God through my response to what had happened. And so one of the things that I did in those days that followed was I sought counsel from a friend of mine whom I greatly respected, Randy Garris. And some of you may recognize that name. Randy was the preacher at College Heights Christian Church in Joplin, Missouri. He had been there for 33 years. And actually, I must tell you, Randy reached out to me first. He had heard what had happened, and he called me on the phone and just to express concern to me. And in that conversation, he said, Kevin, if there's any time that you want to talk, if there's any time that you want to get together, I'm available. I want to help you through this. And I thanked him for that offer. 2 months went by, and then I decided it's time for me to call Randy and have that talk with him. And I did. I called him on the phone and I said, hey, you remember your offer to me. I want to take you up on your offer. Can we get together and talk? And he said, sure. And he, in fact, invited Cindy and I to come to Joplin, to their home, to have supper with he and his wife, Julie. And we did that. It was a wonderful evening. And after supper, Julie and Cindy disappeared together outside. And Randy and I then spent the next hour and a half talking with each other. And I want to read to you something that I wrote in my journal the next morning, just wanting to remember everything that Randy had said to me. The date is June 14th, 2017. This is what I wrote. Over and over, Randy emphasized the importance of worship to God. Our personal worship is how we get through hard times as a winner. We do not have the personal strength within us to overcome such adversity as what we have faced. Our worship and intimacy with God and the strength we draw from Him will be what gets us through. It's through our worship that we can respond with forgiveness and be able to pray, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. It will be through our worship that we will continue to forgive, for that is not a one-time thing. Then we're done with it. It will be through our worship that we have the peace that surpasses all understanding. Unquote. Now I want you to think about that. God has created you and He has created me to worship Him. And as we participate in our purpose, as we discover that purpose and we give our worship to Him every day, all through the day, we're trying to do that to make Him the central figure and focus of our life. As He is in that prominent position before us, He will then help us overcome any kind of adversity that we face. Whatever the adversity, He is greater, He is stronger, He is able to carry us through that adversity. So let me ask you, what kind of adversity are you facing right now? Is it family stuff that you're facing that's hard? Is it financial stress? Is it marital stress? And you facing some health issues? Some emotional stress? Maybe you're facing an addiction of some kind? Whatever adversity you're facing, remember, He is greater, and He wants to help you stand on the other side of that adversity as a stronger, better person. Would you say this with me again, these words? There is no God like our God. Do you believe that? I hope so. It's the truth. We need to take that truth with us and live according to that truth. And we'll be fulfilled more than we ever have been before. Let's pray together. God, help us as we become better worshipers of You, even through this series of sermons, that we would take Your word to heart, that we would know that worship is more than what's on Sunday morning, what happens on Sunday morning, that it's every day, all through the day, that we are mindful of You and we want to glorify You. Help us. You are worthy of all the praise and adoration that we can give You. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.